The University Tower Chimes bring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mile, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Philosophy and furiously grading, it is final exam week, sort of, question mark, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Thank you, Matt. Good to be here.
It's just interesting to say that it's the Friday of exam week, and yet we're in the thick of it. We're in the middle of it instead of at the end of it.
Yes.
Just, Friday is very final. They even start with the same letter, last I heard.
And because of the squirrely way they're doing it
in
the fall,
Monday.
I have a Friday night final next
Yes, you do. But you could have a Saturday morning, so consider yourself lucky.
I have one of those in the fall, so that exam's going to be take-home.
Probably.
Because I'm not coming in on Saturday to give an exam. I just won't do it.
You're just going
to
come in to collect it.
Yeah, and it'll probably
just come
be due
pick
Friday.
Up the
oh, okay. Well,
come
there
in
you go.
For the bribes.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's the plan. Wearing some sort of, let's say, wine.
Burgundy.
Merlot.
Professor Jason Roach is here from the Communication Studies.
I thought I had a shirt.
Yeah, but
yeah.
You were, wear wine.
The face is rosé.
It was a white shirt at one point, and now after many trips to the wine pub, it's, yeah. How are things going, Jason?
Really well. Of course. The fact that there's three students haven't handed in their projects yet, so I can't click submit grade unless
yeah,
I get a yield.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can.
Given what
you
they really
need,
that's paperwork.
Yes.
Exactly.
I thought of you because I had lunch at Mercury Bar the other day, and I was, of course, driving by Old Tucker Stadium, and who else am I going to think of now? Babe Ruth? Bah! I think of Jason Roach.
The Roach, nice. Man.
Yeah.
It's a great place in Detroit.
And even my 10-year-old says, that's the place where the flagpole was in play. I'm like, and there it is, still standing.
Still in
Such
play.
A wonderful story. Yeah. To your left, I'm sure you know this already, it's Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
What
the
wine
man.
Am I wearing?
The
what
man
wine
in black.
He is a man in a black shirt today.
I'm in mourning, that's all.
Because of?
Last night's hockey game.
Yeah. Well,
so, forgive me.
It's, it's sort of like pre-mourning for the inevitable is what it is.
Spitting nails.
I don't think that they're going to win this series.
I've got game one gear from them. So
yeah,
I'm good.
Okay.
For now.
In a mild gray, it's a Professor Roy Finkenbein from the Department of History.
Perhaps a peat.
No gray. Wine, I know.
I, thank God.
It's very distinguished.
It's more like quick
very
reap.
Distinguished. How are Hello. Things going, Roy?
Things are going well. I'm just waiting on research papers for my senior seminar that are
See?
Due Monday.
See?
How was your first year not being dean?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
He says with hesitation.
Well, let me think about that.
The scary thing, well, it's not really scary, but the people come up to me yet thinking I still have inside information. And I enjoy going into my best Sergeant Schultz impersonation.
I see nothing. I hear nothing.
Very nice. Very nice. I had heard through the grapevine that your superpower was whispering, but, you know, I mean, I think that you have to do things like that when it comes to being dean, and now you don't have to worry about it ever again.
Right.
Well, I mean, I don't want to speak too quickly, but, yeah.
Well, I will say that even though we had to go into the distant past when the provost and former dean met with the Council of Chairs before I became interim dean, one of the things that came up is, are there past interim deans that are still available?
Wow.
And the answer is no.
Wow.
Uh-oh. Wait, are you
very
like,
nice.
Are you like a Lions coach? In the sense that once you coach here, you can never get another job again? I mean,
yes, I am the Marty Morningwagon.
I'm going to go and say it has more to do with teaching defense against the dark arts at Hogwarts.
Like, you
you're just lucky you didn't turn into a werewolf or die at the end of the academic
yes.
year.
Yet.
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 Yeah,
the day is young.
Or go crazy, because that's what happened to Gideon Gilderoy
too late.
Lockhart.
Too late for
Gilderoy
right?
Lockhart.
Yeah. Too
that's
late.
Right. That's right. We also have Professor Jim Tubbs here. He's wearing a nice red
and
sort of
stripes,
blue
so
check.
You cannot yes. make comments on vertical stripes today.
Vertical stripes are okay. Your prison sentence, okay? At least it's not orange.
From Religious Studies, how is everything going? Jim, are you done?
Hey, I got my grades turned in.
Holy
that
smokes!
That does not mean I'm done.
Oh, okay.
There's
oh.
an awful lot of administrative work left.
Yeah, that's true.
I hate you that you have your grades in.
Yeah,
well, I hate you and everything you stand for.
I got a bad neck ache from leaning over reading essay exams.
Oh, yeah.
My heart bleeds from my Beth.
Professor Diane Manica is here with us today from education. Now, Diane, we've mentioned this a few times. We're going to be losing you very soon. It's sad to hear.
That you find me something.
You were going to be co-grand marshal of commencement. Is this true?
If you know that, I don't.
Oh. Oops. That was a very interesting exchange.
I'm just going to be my years of marshal with the master's degree students.
Okay, okay, that works.
Would you wear a little badge and a little guns or something like that?
Under my cap and gown.
Yeah. She's going to do her best Tommy Lee Jones.
It's hard to draw those, though.
Along with her mace and her taser.
Wait, the university mace? Is that what?
No. It comes in a can?
No, I just collect cell phones during commencement.
Oh, of course.
Well, here's the trivia question. Who is the first person who got to carry the new university mace?
Wait, was it?
And I didn't
spray. Was it Roy Finkenbein?
Yes, it was.
Oh, that's right.
Impressive. Shame with self.
That will that can be a question we can pose.
Was the old one too bent out of shape from beating people on the head?
Well, apparently what happened is it fell apart right before they took it, as they're taking it out of this box that it rests in from year to year. For President Garibaldi's inauguration. And as they're taking it out, it falls into three pieces. And so I think on the spot they ordered that a new
one. Here's the question. Produced. Where do you go shopping for a university mace?
Mace are us.
Our school makes them.
Really?
Yeah.
College for Creative Studies makes them?
We made our own. Oh, you should see the glass ornament.
Maybe CCS made our replacement.
No. We make ours to last.
They stay in all one piece.
You might have made our new
one. Is yours made by those folks out at the Iron Forge?
Uh-huh. Oh, and the glass people and the wood people.
Nice. Ooh. Very nice.
It is pretty industrial strength.
Very cool. Well, listeners, we're also very happy to announce we have a guest panelist with us today. Mary Catherine Harrison from English is here. Happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. You're wearing black and white polka dots to bring everything full circle. We're so glad that you're here. I think you know by now you don't need to know any of the answers. Frankly, I think that works against you.
Then I am ready to go.
Logic is out the window.
Perfect, perfect. Well,
logic
folks.
Logic is out the window?
Darn right.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, symbolic logic.
Logic exams out.
Out the window.
Beth can no longer grade her logic exams.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. We now have autographed photographs to send you. Woo-hoo. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. We have a nice eensy-weensy little hors d'oeuvre of question set sent in by our former executive producer, Dr. Barbara Bowles. I believe Kathy used to say the divine Dr. Professor Barbara Bowles.
Babs.
And Babs, if you will. Sure. She says, dear professors, on Jeopardy, the game show, just in case you're thinking that I'm in Jeopardy or something like that. Oh. It's the final week for decade champions. Oh. Of course, Ken Jennings, the all-time winner of the most consecutive games and the most money, mm-hmm. is one of the finalists. Mm-hmm. You should watch. Well, I'm afraid we're a little bit behind the times here, but maybe some of us did. Since on his history-making run, Jennings has been writing a little trivia column for Parade called Connections. Oh, that's very nice.
Clever.
Cute.
This set of questions was especially suited for ATP. Let's see what happens when you take a shot. All five correct answers have something in common. Can you figure out what it is? Hint, you professors also have this in common with the responses. Let's see.
Crooked neck?
Awesomeness?
Johnny Mathers?
Oh my gosh. Boy, that's been a theme this year. Which of TV's friends was the identical twin of Ursula Buffy, a character on Mad About You?
It would have to be...
Phoebe?
Yes, absolutely. It's Phoebe. I mispronounced Buffy. It was Buffet, I believe. It's the way she wanted it. But that was a nice little twist that they did to make connections between the shows. So our first correct response is Phoebe. What cousin of the ostrich is South America's largest flightless bird?
The emu?
It's not an emu.
Oh, what is
that is...
That's in Australia, right?
Australia. This is in South America because I...
South America.
cannot slow down a little
bit.
Hold
on, I keep on thinking Kevin from Up. That's all.
That's not that bad. It's actually related to Kevin from Up. Yes. That's not bad, except for it's not Kevin.
People farm these things too, right?
Yes, there is. It starts with the letter R. Is sometimes the name first name for a female. I'm thinking Danny DeVito's on-again, off-again wife. Rhea is what it is. Oh, yeah, yes, a Rhea is the bird we're looking for. Rhea
but the on-again, off-again wife is Rita, right?
Is it Rhea?
Rhea Perlman.
Rhea Perlman. Perlman. Mm-hmm.
Very difficult woman to draw.
Wow.
Here's what I want you to take on as your task.
Thank you for sharing.
Wow.
Imagine the child of Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman.
It's called Chucky.
In 1585, a Flemish engraver named Gerdus Mercator published the first book of maps called a...
Atlas.
Mercator.
Is it Mercator?
I'm not sure, actually.
Sure. I was thinking Heavens to Murgatroyd, actually, when I was reading it. So.
Snagglepuss?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so, Heavens to Murgatroyd. So it's Phoebe... What was the second one?
Rhea and Atlas.
Rhea and Atlas.
What 2012 sci-fi movie was Ridley Scott's loose, in quotes, prequel to his first hit, Alien?
Oh, what the heck was that thing?
Not AVP.
No. Mm-hmm. Nope.
That wasn't too bad, actually.
Oh, I kind of like it.
Me too. Yeah. Really?
I remember I saw the promos because a friend of mine did the work for it.
Nice.
Now it's embarrassing. I can't remember his work.
So this would have been one word, starts with a P.
Prometheus?
Oh. Prometheus, yes.
Oh, that's right. I rented it because Michael Fassbender's in it. I totally have a crush on him.
So you can't wait for X-Men, then?
Even after 12 years of slave.
X-Men First Class is a brilliant movie.
But this new one coming, this Days of Future Past.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Strew knows all this. Okay. We have lists. This is how, when you're married, this is what you do.
Lists of people you're allowed to...
Well, like, since you never actually will hook up with them, they're the list of people who, in the possible world when you did, you get to, and it's okay.
Is this in the roommate agreement?
Wow. Yeah. Oh, Willie Nelson is so on my list.
Wow.
Willie.
Okay. Hey,
don't judge. I'm not saying nothing.
That braid has got something.
Michael Fassbender makes sense. I'm just saying.
I'm going to remind the panel about Phoebe, Rhea, Atlas, and Prometheus. Number five, and the last question for us to make our connection. What speedy NFL running back do fans call CJ2K?
Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson is correct. What do those five things have in common?
Okay, I was like moons of Saturn there.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Until Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
Chris just got through it for a loop.
And it also has something in common with us.
And it also has something in common with every person at the table. They're all Titans.
He's not a Titan.
Think about that while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
1995.
Thank you.
After whom are Baby Ruth candy bars named?
President Kidd's wife. No. The president's
kid. Kid, that's right. Grover Cleveland's daughter, Ruth. Yeah.
Was that an illegitimate kid?
Yes, she's the one that, you know...
Is that where's my pa?
Gone to the White House.
That's right.
No, that was the Kennedy years.
No, that was Grover Cleveland. Mayor of Buffalo. Hey.
But now, aren't the ads trying to make some connection between Babe Ruth and...
Because they're written by idiots.
Oh,
because
they don't know.
That's right. They're stupid.
Oh, they're
people.
Not like intentionally misleading.
No,
they just don't know.
Stupid people. Oh. They're uneducated, stupid people.
People in advertisement are stupid, Edwin? Is that what you're
trying to keep? Edwin is leaving out the crucial point. They're uneducated, they're stupid, highly paid people.
That's
just
mad
because they are. But we're not bitter, I'll say that.
No, not us.
We're too big for that.
We're generous of spirit.
And thank you very much for the divine Barbara Bowles for sending those questions in. We have another set of questions here that we can attack with all of our rigor here. Dear professors, lovely day in Norwalk, Iowa. I've been compiling a list of questions for your show for a while now and have finally gotten the time to sit down and send them in. I hope an arbitrary 80% passing grade will suffice. It certainly does during final exam week. Thank you, Rachel Ralston of Norwalk, Iowa. P.S. And the last time I wrote in, I teased that our local radio station in Des Moines, WHO, was calling your show Stump the Professors, but I corrected them, and since their online radio guide has been changed, so kudos to WHO for being proactive.
Yes, kudos.
Kudos. Thanks.
Thanks, Rachel. Very cool. Okay. What are the... Yeah, we're going to be all over the map here. What are the units of measure for the height of a Smurf?
Those little blue things?
They're always described in the same way, and it is what?
Mushrooms?
Cubits?
No.
Half a cubit.
From the book of Papa Smurf, chapter 4, Thou shalt build a house... 20 cubits big. No, no, it's not cubits. I can assure you it's not cubits.
That was the arc.
Mushrooms or...
Not shrooms, although you're in the right category. The right wheelhouse.
Whatever that
blades of grass.
Fungi, what are we...
How many dime bags are we talking here?
I'm being funny. Something that would be around a Smurf.
Okay.
Blades of grass?
Hula hoop.
I'm wondering what... It's not blades of grass. It's not leaves of grass either.
Ants?
It's not ants.
Bugs?
Think
of some kind?
Fruit.
Blueberries?
Fruit, strawberries?
No. Nope.
We haven't seen Smurfs in quarter of a century.
You're lucky. You are so lucky.
It is apples. All Smurfs are three apples tall. Oh, that's how
crab
you know
or Macintosh?
Wait, they're not all the same height, though.
They're relatively speaking all the same height.
Well, not all apples are the same height either.
Yeah, see, that's why. Okay. What species are we talking here? Oh, my God.
Three pink ladies.
Blue delicious.
In what country... Is it said that Venetian blinds were invented?
Italy?
It was not Italy.
I was going to say, that's too obvious.
It was not Italy.
No, it's got to be some warm country, like Pacific.
I think you're using good logic to answer this question, but not necessarily super warm. Maybe a little volcanic?
Okay. Iceland?
Not Iceland.
Okay, I was thinking Hawaii, which is not a country.
Hawaii is not a country. That
Sicily?
Is
Sicily?
No. Australia?
No.
The Philippines?
No. It's an island group.
Indonesia?
A little further Polynesia? North from Indonesia.
Korea? Oh, no.
Nope, but close.
Japan?
It says
Japan.
That Venetian blinds were invented in Japan.
There you
yes.
go.
So,
did they come via the Silk Road? Because Venice was blind. Well, Venice was at
this has not been discussed.
Venice was at the western end of the Silk Road kind of network.
Oh, okay, that's
so
right.
So maybe
yeah.
that's why they
okay.
Marco
okay.
Polo.
Yeah. What a good logic mm-hmm. that was.
I just think that they're very compact, and I always think of Tokyo and you know, 5,000 people living in a space
yeah.
as big
well,
as
Rome. Good design.
Don't take me seriously. I'm the person who answered correctly years ago the question about why there's a fire pole in firehouses.
Because
they put horses on one floor and people on another, and that horses couldn't climb up the pole, but
yeah.
they could go up the stairs. So.
Yeah, but they could go up the stairs. That's right.
Okay.
I remember this.
Okay.
I remember
okay.
this. So the state of South Carolina, the great state of South Carolina,
the great state,
has an official dance.
Sure. It's called
the
Jim DeMint.
The Shag.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely the Shag.
Although, do not go to Great Britain and ask someone to do that with you.
No.
I just think it's funny that
I know someone who did.
I just want to let the professors know, in my grading, Beth, I marked Japan correct after essentially 20 guesses.
I know.
We get the Shag on the first.
That's amazing.
That is a great
Myrtle
movie.
Myrtle Beach has Shag competitions all the time.
Shag is a great movie.
It is, but it is a different kind of
it's not
slang
the British. Yes.
In British.
That's
yes.
true.
Yes, in Britain.
It's a lot like, 40s jitterbug.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sounds about right. What was the first Disney animated feature that was based on the life of a person who actually existed?
Pinocchio.
Steamboat Willie.
Pocahontas.
Yeah. That Pocahontas. Raises some interesting yeah. questions about personhood.
Which 1970s American TV detective was created by film writer Abby Mann?
1970s
American TV detective.
Police woman?
No, it shares a name with a nice speckled cheese.
Speckled cheese.
Roker.
Greer. Mannix, Barnaby Jones.
I don't know why people are jumping on this one.
Rockford?
Nope.
Jim Rockford?
Nope. Speckle I'm thinking cheese. Of a white and orange cheese. Very common in
Colby?
Supermarkets. Colby's one part of it.
Colby Jack?
Kojak.
Yeah.
Kojak.
Oh. I said that 12 minutes ago.
Did you? I'm sorry.
Oh.
That's all right.
I heard Mannix cheese and I couldn't get over it. My bad.
That's 70s television detective.
Yes.
No.
What was the original name? This is actually interesting. We all know Hoover Dam was actually named after the president after it was a success. Like, can a dam not be a success? That's kind of interesting. What was the original name of Hoover Dam?
Boulder Dam.
Boulder Dam, yes, absolutely. Very
a dam can be.
It can be a great disaster.
Ask the people in Toccoa Falls, Georgia.
Wasn't the Hoover Dam a failure in a number of ways in terms of the people who were hurt making up, who died building it?
Yeah, that's true.
But have you been there? It's kind of hard to imagine not losing a few people in the process of building the thing.
So we're doing a little cost-benefit analysis here.
Look at the railroads. Like, we did the same thing there, right? Yeah,
more like later on we started actually gathering people to do the job and letting them know ahead of time. Probably.
Well, there's just so many ways. I mean, even now there's so many ways you could accidentally die down there.
Yes,
building it would have been...
Panama Canal, I think of, is another one where hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people...
They died of yellow fever.
Yeah. What is the term for a grouping of parrots? As in squawk.
A cacophony.
It is not.
It should be.
That sounds great.
That's a great
That sounds good.
It is not. Parrots. Starts with the same letter.
As?
A catch.
Nope.
Starts with the same letter as parrot or cacophony?
Yeah, which one?
As cacophony.
Oh.
Well, starts with the letter C.
Covey.
I'm thinking of a very famous Detroit area 70s and 80s based talk show. And it was Kelly and
Company.
Company. Yes, it's a company of parrots.
Company of parrots. Mm-hmm. Company.
Are they incorporated?
I don't know. It's an
LLC. Yeah, right.
LLC. Parrots, LLC.
Nubian, reticulated, and Rothschilds are three species of?
Giraffes.
Giraffes. Do you remember which one the Detroit Zoo has?
No, but I'm still remembering.
Actually, I think it's Rothschilds.
I'm still remembering Joe Mendy from a few weeks ago.
Classy Warhawks.
I've asked so many people about Joe Mendy. They all know who he is. That's blowing my mind. There used to be a chimpanzee troupe that performed at the zoo, but this was the guy that came out dressed like a human being and smoked cigars and like...
And beat out FDR, remember?
And beat up FDR. Don't even get me started. I read everything the internet had about Joe Mendy the day after. I'm like, what the heck is this?
Matt is now a contributor to the wiki.
Oh,
the wiki site for Joe Mendy.
I'm telling you. In what Italian city was Luciano Pavarotti born?
Venice?
He was not born in Venice.
Well, I'm just throwing that out there.
Nope.
Florence.
Nope. Starts with the letter M.
Volterra.
M.
No ideas, huh?
In Italy?
It was Modena.
Modena.
Oh, why didn't you say balsamic vinegar?
I was going to, but I thought that would give it away too much.
So I always talk about Pavarotti when I talk about metaphor with my poetry students, because when I want them to remember the terms tenor and vehicle, I say, just imagine Luciano Pavarotti being drawn in a horse-drawn carriage, and it worked for a long time, and now they go, Pavarotti? What? Who is that?
That's too
bad.
So
I've got to come up with a new tenor.
Who's a good tenor right now? That's a good question.
Placido Domingo? They probably won't remember
him.
What about the other guy?
The third of the three tenors.
Yeah, Curly.
What was the name of the Olympic mascot for the 1980 Olympics that were held in Moscow?
That was the one we boycotted, right?
Yeah.
Indeed it was.
Stupid little bear.
You were exactly right. It's Bear. Do you remember his name? Jim knows so much stuff.
Borsch. Borsch.
He had also a name that started with M.
With M?
M. I nearly just said the name. I'm sorry.
Mikhail?
No. Oh, that's a great idea.
Misha?
It's Misha. Misha.
And I was two at the time, so...
Nice.
It's a really kind of a crude caricature, too. I mean,
he was wearing like a real tight, little teeny, tiny t-shirt, if I remember correctly.
Hey, those are Martian cartoonists. I mean, come on, cut him some slack, okay?
All right. What is the name of Elizabeth Taylor's horse in the 1944 film National Velvet?
Crushed Velvet.
No. Yeah, sadly, the name of the horse shares a name with a very popular American dessert.
Jell-O?
No. You're not very far away.
Strawberry shortcake.
Pound cake. Baklava.
Some of the horses have weirder names than that, by the way. Just watch the Kentucky Derby. No, her horse's name was Pie.
Not even a kind of pie. It would need to be like, cherry pie or blueberry pie or something.
No, she's...
Just
was
pie.
Anticipating Barack Obama.
Oh,
I like pie.
Do you know about her eyelashes?
Whose?
So Elizabeth Taylor, the reason her eyes were so magnificent, in addition to being violet blue, is she was born with two rows of eyelashes. It's
like
a condition that you can have.
Oh,
and so she has double eyelashes.
She must
eyelashes.
Have spent a lot of mascara.
She didn't even need mascara.
Oh,
she
that's
need
right.
Mascara. She does not need Latisse. She,
you'd
she
save just, money on mascara.
Yeah.
She put that to good use.
She's a donor. Oh.
Professors, what did God create on the fifth day?
Animals? Yeah, animals.
Something specific.
Birds.
Birds and?
Fishes. Fishes.
The creatures of the sea. Yes, that is correct.
Does that include the mammals of the sea? That's an interesting question.
Good question.
Good question.
It should. They're kingdom animalia.
How about chicken of the sea?
As always, all I can think about is The Simpsons. Like, did you know that dolphins are mammals like you and I? Is that true, Dad? No. In the 1966 movie The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, who portrayed Ugly?
Oh,
was it Clint Eastwood?
No.
Initials E.W.
Yeah.
Eli Wallach.
Eli Wallach.
Yes, yeah. That is correct. And Jim is
and he was
on
ugly.
Fire today.
When was he ever handsome?
Impressive. I think Roy had that, too.
In Fuego.
Yeah,
okay,
Roy had
okay,
it too.
Okay.
He had one of those faces like somebody set it on fire and put it out with a fork.
Mm-hmm. However, the big winner here is, and this explains why he could only get bit roles, the big winner, it's a tie between Ron Howard's brother
Clint.
And Patrick Swayze's brother.
Sure, I get it.
Clint is less attractive than Patrick Swayze's brother.
He made it work like two rows of eyelashes.
I feel like we should edit this part out. This doesn't seem kind-hearted. Well,
oh, well.
You got to hear what
we're
they say about us.
We're frequently not.
On Ask the Actor.
It's true. Kind-hearted.
It's Jonathan Swift's modest proposal, actually.
In Roman mythology.
What the social good is.
Okay.
Oh. Who was the god of gates, doors, and entrances?
To Hades.
Hephaestus?
Mm-mm.
Or is that...
Roman mythology, who was the god of gates, doors, and entrances?
I didn't know there was one.
Yeah. Does he guard the entrance to...
Well, there's a reason...
Hades?
No, there is a reason that in the ancient calendar, so the one that became part of the Gregorian calendar, we decided to make the first month named after this.
Janus.
Janus. Because it's the gateway to the rest of the year.
Oh.
Yes. So
He's the god of chaos.
Isn't Janus the two-faced god?
Yeah.
So he sees
chaos.
Both ways through the door. That was the idea.
Huh. Peeping Tom.
Who was the first person to notice that the sun had spots?
Galileo.
Blinky.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was definitely Galileo. Oh, my. I don't know whether to be thankful or not. As usual, the time has come for us to say goodbye. Professor Harrison?
Well, thank you so much. Goodbye.
Thanks for coming to our show. We really appreciate it. Professor Manica?
See you soon.
Professor Tubbs?
Sayonara.
Professor Finkenbein?
Bye-bye.
Professor Chow?
See ya.
Professor Roach?
Peace out, y'all.
Professor Oljar?
Later.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Adam Winbigler, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.